It's with a certain regret that I welcome our guest tonight, because it's the last time that she'll be with us for, well, some considerable time. On my first broadcast of Stage Door, I had three very charming ladies, and this was before any Get Your Gun was even on the air. Evie Hayes came up to the studio, then again she came up on her 100th performance, and tonight it's the last broadcast of Stage Door before she leaves here. So, Evie, we're very happy to have you back with us.
Thank you, John. You know, it's a strange thing, but we didn't think when I did that first broadcast with you that on this, my last broadcast with you, I would have done 366 performances of Annie Get Your Gun.
366 and sent the Rosemarie record skyrocketing.
That's right. Yes, I'm very happy to say that we have broken all the, we have broken the Australasian record for musical comedy. But it's been a grand run, and as we discussed before the show opened, we didn't really know how long it would run.
No.
But we're very thrilled to think that we have run the 10 months and had such a grand and wonderful time here in Melbourne.
And now you're being rushed off your feet, I suppose, getting ready to go.
Well, this last week has really been so hectic, but I suppose that's understandable. I did try and keep as much free time as I could for you and my friends in radio and for my press friends. But things have been piling up, I'm afraid, and I think next Monday, Tuesday and Wednesday, the last 3 days will be equally as busy.
Yes, it's rather funny. When I interviewed Will on this session, he'd just dashed from where you've just dashed from.
Oh, that's right. Yes, he was doing It's a Date, wasn't he?
That's right.
Yes, well, I've just come from appearing in It's a Date, and incidentally, that is the last time that that show will be on the air. That was the farewell program tonight.
And Chico Marx was on the same program, wasn't he?
Yes, that's right. Dear Chico. He's a grand person. Have you met him yet, John?
Yes, I have. I met him the night that he was broadcast on this session.
Yes. Well, I hadn't met Chico before, but he's a very great friend of my husband's, Will Mahoney. Mm. They had known each other in America for years, and so Will is going to try and fly down sometime in the next fortnight before Chico goes back
yes.
to America, and they're going to reminisce about the old days when they used to lunch together at the tavern in New York, Billy LaHiff's famous tavern restaurant.
And how do you feel about Annie now?
Well, I'm afraid, you know, I always told you I was stage struck.
Yes.
Well, I'm afraid I'm still as enthusiastic about Annie as I ever was, John. There were moments, of course, during our long season when one gets a little tired, but I have never really lost my enthusiasm for the part. It's, she's such a vital character, and it's, there's so many moods in it that I don't think one could possibly get bored with Annie.
And what about her numbers?
Well, I'm afraid that my, feelings are still exactly the same about the songs in the
yes.
show. I love The Man with a Gun. I mean, that's is really my favorite, I suppose because of the comedy element in it.
Yes.
And, the reaction of the audience I enjoy because, well, you can hear them when they laugh. It's a great thrill for me to be able to make them laugh. And then my second favorite is Lost in His Arms, which musically and its construction as a sentimental ballad, I think, has no peer. It's one of my favorite numbers, and the orchestration is delightful. And then I admire tremendously My Defenses Are Down. I think that's a grand song, and the way my leading man, Webb Tilton, sings it is really fine, wonderful. In fact, he does very frequently stop the show with it.
Yes, it's a very spirited number.
Yes.
And in this long run that you've had, what would you say are some of the highlights of the season?
Well, now let me think. Oh.
Particular nights.
Well, I think the 200th performance was a great night. Then, of course, when we got to the 300th performance, well, that just crept up on me. I didn't have any idea that I was going to get that far without missing a performance. But, John, the outstanding night of the whole season was, has been, and always will be, the opening night.
Yes.
I really don't think that anything in theater in my career will ever equal the thrill that I had and the thrill of the audience and the general atmosphere of the theater and the excitement of the first big new musical comedy coming to Australia after many years without any new shows.
Yes.
It really was a most exciting and wonderful night, and we had a brilliant audience, many honored guests, And
you can sort of feel that thrill in the air and that expectancy, and the show just had to be good on that first night.
Yes, it was really wonderful. I'll never forget it. And my Annie's little Manny, down in the audience, I could feel his moral support, which I can tell you was a great help to me. And Annie's little Mammy was sitting next to him. But apart from that, John, I must mention another night, which was really a highlight of the season. The night that the Grand Order of Freemasons bought the house out.
Oh, yes.
The Masonic Order. And I'll never forget when I made my first entrance, I have never seen so many white shirt fronts in my career.
Right from the roof.
Never having done concert work, but they were right from the roof, right down to the front row of the stalls, and they looked like penguins. It was rather sweet. But really, everyone looked simply marvelous. They were a very good audience, and we were all working hard for them. They were most enthusiastic. And I must let you in on a little laugh that we had that night.
Yes.
During the course of the evening, we interspersed names of the various prominent members of the order.
Yes.
And during the Indian scene, when I turn around to Sitting Bull and say, and after he puts that great big heavy
necklace
on me, I say, "Am I an Indian yit?" So I turned around to him and said, "Am I a Mason yit?"
I'll bet it brought the house down.
Well, it also brought the cast down, because my poor Indian in the background could hardly sing, and they were all chuckling under their masks. It was really quite an amusing moment.
And I suppose you've had some very interesting visitors during the time that you've been...
Yes, John, we have been honored by the presence of... Mr. Chifley on two occasions, and on both occasions he came backstage to say hello to us and to congratulate us on our show. And then, of course, I had Beryl and George Formby.
Oh,
they came along on a matinee.
Mm-hmm.
And they came backstage and were very charming and very sweet, and I brought most of the members of the company in to meet them. But the biggest thrill that I had personally from a visitor was the night that Gladys came in.
Yes.
The night after she returned back from her world tour. And she looked perfectly wonderful. She was sitting up in the box, and on that night, they do say that when Gladys comes into the theater, that there's always an electricity sort of goes through the atmosphere. Well, it did that night. And that particular night, when Gladys was there, was the only time that I've really been nervous. I don't know why, and I was working so hard, and I wanted to please her, and I wanted her to be proud of me, because I admire her so much. But that was a great thrill.
Yes, there's a wonderful sort of tension in her atmosphere, isn't there?
Yes, marvelous.
And I suppose you've received some quite interesting souvenirs and flowers in your time.
Oh, yes. John, I wanted to go back and tell you that we had the whole of the Indian cricketers team
in.
Oh,
yes, that's right.
Yes, we had all the Indian boys back, and the poor darlings, they all filed through. Mr. Marshall Gregg, our manager, brought them through the pass door, and they all sort of lined up like a team facing us. We actors on one side of the stage and the Indian cricketers on the other, and I felt as if we were all going to sort of rush at each other.
And how did you get on conversationally?
Well, we got on very well. Their manager, Mr. Gupta, introduced us to them, and Gladys was also there that night.
Yes.
So we dispensed with all formality, and we just sort of moved forward and had conversations, and they really were most charming. It was quite an interesting evening to have them back.
And in approaching Annie, what was the most difficult problem that you had to face in taking this role on?
Well, I think the greatest decision that I had to make was the fact that I would be disassociated from my husband, Will Mahoney, both in the theater and out of it, because, as you know, he has his Cremorne Theater in Brisbane, and he has his business interests, which he can't leave. So it meant that I would be down here in Melbourne, Sydney, or wherever we would be, playing Annie. But Will felt that this was such a grand opportunity for me, my first excursion into musical comedy in such an important role, that he didn't want me to miss it. So he was really big about it. And it has been quite a pull, really, being away from him. But we managed to speak on the phone practically every night for at least 20 minutes.
Now, I believe that the airways have christened him the Flying Lover, because he's always popping down here.
hostesses, they look after him, you know. They know he's Annie's little Manny. So they give me a ring at the theater, and they'll say, well, now, we've looked after the flying lover, flying from Brisbane to Melbourne about every fortnight. And then two of the girls came along to see the show last night. Yes, last night. So I know all the air hostesses, and Will is, knows all the pilots, and I think he knows every bit of terrain on the way down from Brisbane to Melbourne.
And I don't suppose Annie leaves you very much leisure time, does it?
Well, not a lot, John, no, with the two matinees a week and having to rest a bit. But I have been fortunate in being able to go to the Old Vic matinees on Thursday.
Yes, that's what
I saw. A Skin of Our Teeth this afternoon.
Yes.
I feel very strongly about this. The entire company, the advent of the Old Vic Company here in Melbourne has been an inspiration to me. It really has. And all of the members that I've met have been most charming, and both Sir Lawrence and Lady Olivia have been perfectly grand. They're wonderful artists. I was feeling a little tired and a little bored a couple of weeks ago. Just a little, mind you.
Yes.
But when I started going to those Thursday matinees, well, I really felt that my life wasn't completely encompassed by the four walls of His Majesty's Theatre, and was really an inspiration to me. Most wonderful performances they were, and I've been so grateful to be able to go. I met most of the members of the Old Vic Company and at the Equity cocktail party that we gave at Menzies on Tuesday.
Yes.
Yes, I was on the committee. And we had a grand time, and they had the opportunity to meet all of our performers, both on stage and in radio, and we had the opportunity to become acquainted with them. So we're hoping, when our company gets to Sydney, that they will still be there, and we're going to try and arrange another
Similar function,
yes, if we can.
And now it's time for practically farewells, isn't it?
I'm afraid it is. John, did you ask me about souvenirs and flowers?
I did.
Well, I did want to mention the wonderful 6-foot horseshoe that I received.
Yes.
On the occasion of my 200th performance. Beautifully done and sent anonymously, and I never have been able to find out who sent it.
I broadcast asking people if they could give me any clues, but no reply.
No reply. Well, I did appreciate that so much, and I received some lovely floral presentations. Really quite lovely. That's my feelings are very mixed about leaving Melbourne, you know. Somehow I really don't want to go. I don't want to leave all my friends, but then let everybody in Australia have a look at Annie Get Your Gun.
Annie, can we?
So we're going on to Adelaide, John.
To Adelaide and
yes,
then to Brisbane?
On to Adelaide for 4 weeks, and then to Brisbane, and then we open in Sydney.
And that's going to be an exciting night too, isn't it?
Yes, I think it will. I'm looking forward to that very much.
Well, I know that I'm extending the rather sad felicitations of all your fans in the fact that you've got to leave us, but I know that you're going to continue and have a wonderful tour.
Thank you, John. I'm looking forward to playing in Annie everywhere in Australia, in all the big centres. I just did want to say farewell to all the members of my fan club, if I may have a half a moment.
Yes.
Because they've been so loyal, and they've been so perfectly charming to me, and they've supported us all through the season. And I do think that it shows it shows such an interest in theatre and loyalty. It's the first time, I believe, a fan club has been formed in some years for a live artist.
Yes.
They usually form them for film stars who are more or less unapproachable.
Yes.
But I'm always approachable, and they can always come and ask me for a photo, and I'm only too thrilled to send it to them. So farewell, members of my fan club. It's been grand knowing you.
And now we must say not goodbye, because it'll be au revoir, and we'll look forward to your coming back ere very long.
Thank you very much, John Storr. I'll look forward to being with you before too long. Bye-bye.